to another episode of the Unlearning Podcast. My name is Ashley Lynn Hanks. I am your host, your guide, and your biggest cheerleader on your journey of faith. If you're new to the show, welcome. I am so glad you are here. The Unlearning Podcast is all about helping you learn to love Jesus and your neighbor through healthy, life-giving Christian theology. Welcome to the latest Friday Field Notes episode, which is all about reconstruction and helping you rebuild yourself and your faith after a season of stepping away and deconstructing evangelicalism. Now, a couple of months ago, I would say maybe about a year ago, probably 2 years, I was in therapy working on myself when I realized a tendency toward being judgmental. I had no idea how judgmental I was. It never even occurred to me how often I assumed the worst in other people, especially people closest to me. I would often skip out on trying something or not even going somewhere because I already believed that it was going to be bad, or I wasn't going to be good at it, or someone wouldn't welcome me. I began to realize that as soon as my feelings were hurt, I felt the need to judge people with a negative label. It took me a long time to realize this about myself, but as soon as I did, I immediately stopped being so judgmental. Okay, well, maybe not immediately. It took a long time to undo these bad habits, a lot of prayer and self-compassion. But the more I worked on practicing acceptance and tolerance and doing life without judging others, the more I began to feel alive, and the more I began to feel hopeful and happy about relationships, not just my relationships with others, but in my relationship to myself. And so processing this big shift in thinking, I began to ask myself, why did I become this way? How did I become so incredibly judgmental? You see, as evangelicals, we have been taught to believe that love and judgment are two sides of the same coin. If you love your neighbor, you will tell them about how they're going to go to hell if they don't accept Jesus into their life. And if you love your spouse, you will tell them of all the ways that they're backsliding into sin. And if you love your child, you will not spare the rod. You will hit them when appropriate to spare them the greater consequences of growing into a sinful adult. If you love yourself and you want to stay on the narrow road of the Christian life, you cut off your right hand to keep your left hand from sinning. Well, not literally, but that is how we take Jesus' teachings on temptation. If you want to stay holy and keep from falling into a pit of sin, you will cut yourself off from anything that makes you feel anything but pure and holy. If you want to obey God, you will work hard to be discerning in who you spend time with, the music you listen to, the shows you watch, the books you read. This is what we've been taught. You will need to judge the wheat from everything else if you want to know what is good for you. This is what we condition people to believe. This is how we raise our children and youth. This is how we interlink love and judgment in the evangelical world. So even when we think of God, this idea of love and judgment applies. I've heard evangelical pastor Matt Chandler say so many times that love and wrath are two sides of the same coin. Matt loves his daughter, therefore, if you hurt her, you will experience his fatherly wrath. But Matt doesn't love his neighbor the same way he loves you. So if you hurt little Susie, who lives two doors down, he will naturally feel sorry for her, but his wrath will not spring up within him. This is Matt Chandler's thinking, that the more he loves someone, the more his passion for their holiness can invoke wrath. Love and judgment go hand in hand. And if this is all true for frail, broken human relationships, how much more true is this for our perfect God? Evangelical pastors often preach that God loves us so much that he must punish sin, and that God cannot be loving if God does not hate sin. They preach that God's hatred for sin and impending wrath is evidence of God's love for us. Now, if you're new to the show and to deconstruction, this kind of reasoning makes perfect sense to you. But if you've been on this unlearning journey for a while, this sounds psychotic. Now, there are a few passages in Scripture that, when taken literally, support this kind of synonymous relationship with love and wrath. The prophet Nahum wrote, and I quote, "The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty." Chapter 1, verse 3. We take these words to mean that God will punish people eternally in the afterlife, as if not checking off Christian in the U.S. Census makes someone deserving of eternal punishment. You may not even remember that passage written by Paul to the Romans where he wrote, What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, had endured with much patience the objects of wrath that are made for destruction? Paul's words imply that God has made a whole group of people exclusively to demonstrate his wrath. This is crazy, but it implies that love and judgment go hand in hand. In addition to love and judgment being this weird synonymous thing, this kind of thinking influences how we understand suffering. Think about that age-old question. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Why do good people suffer? For the evangelical, God allows bad things to happen to his followers, but the suffering will not last forever. Judgment will come because God's love for his people is so great, and God will judge non-believers for the pain they have caused his followers. I know this thinking is hard to even think about, to even try to remember, but it's important to really zero in on some of this kind of thinking. This is why what we believe about God is so important, because it deeply influences what we think about everything else, including other people. Now, when I began to realize how much I was programmed to be judgmental, I began to have compassion on myself. I also began to wonder if judging others had any place in healthy, loving relationships. I agree with Bell Hooks when she wrote that there can be no love without justice, but justice is very different than eternal condemnation. And pursuing justice is very different than assuming the worst about other people. Is there a world where we can love one another, Christian or not, as compassionate, open-hearted people without judgment? Can we build a life where we stop constantly questioning people's character? Can we disagree without labeling others and ourselves with any kind of label? This does not mean that we ignore bad behavior and continue to stay in dysfunctional relationships or continue to stay connected to people who are not life-giving. I don't believe in that. Too many pastors preach Christian love as the call to perpetual crucifixion, as a call to love your enemies and hate your lovers, as a call to spend more time with people who hurt you and cause harm than with people who bring us joy and pleasure. This is toxic. This is a theology of abuse that I do not prescribe to anymore. But this kind of love without judgment is similar to what psychologist Stanley Standel described as having an unconditional positive regard. How can we approach one another with an unconditional positive regard? How can we approach our relationships assuming the best about people, that people are doing the best they can? How can we approach our relationships to the point where even when people show us their worst, we can talk about their behavior without labeling them as completely hopeless? On some level, judging others is a form of control. Evangelicals tell non-Christians that they are going to hell so that they get scared and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. A wife will call her spouse a slob, or a boyfriend will talk about his partner's weight so that they will begin to change. Coaches will sometimes yell at their athletes, calling them lazy, so that they fear being lazy, so that they fear the shame of that label. Judging others is a form of control. And Jesus did not call you or me to try to control others. You see, another challenge with this idea of love without judgment is what happens when you ask someone to do something or to change something and they say no. What happens then? Jesus called us to judge not, and we shall not be judged. Part of this experience of not judging other people, of loving them without judgment, is accepting and respecting their no. It's detaching yourself from the expectation that they will listen or obey you. This is really, really hard for evangelicals who equate love with obedience. After all, it was Jesus who said, "If you love me, you'll obey me." But friends, we are not Jesus. People do not have to obey us. Our spouses do not have to obey us. The freedom to say no, to disagree, to think differently is essential to healthy and loving relationships. I believe we also have this freedom with Christ. God did not call us out of a moral darkness into a spiritual light to control us, but that we would have life and have it abundantly. So here we go. Can you tell your girlfriend or your roommate about your need for a clean apartment without calling them a slob? Can you ask your boss for a raise without criticizing them if they said no? Remember Jesus' words, judge not or you shall be judged, Luke 6:37. Can we do what Jesus calls us to do and really practice love for one another without judgment? Try it out. See how it feels. Detach from your expectations. Give people the freedom to say no, to disagree. So as you go throughout your week, I want you to think about the ways the evangelical church has taught you to be discerning or judgmental, and how that shows up in your connection to people who are different or who you might not even like. And consider this idea of loving them without judgment. What would it be like to approach everyone with an unconditional positive regard? What would it be like to accept people as they are and to not have an agenda to change them? Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you found it helpful to you. Until next time, my name is Ashley Lynn Hanks, and you are listening to the Unlearning Podcast.